So how many of you would like a little more certainty in the situation perhaps that you just thought about, where you're feeling some uncertainty? How many of you might like some certainty in the upcoming presidential election, that the outcome might leave the world a more just and peace place? How many of you might like some more certainty to know that the fate of our brothers and sisters who are fleeing from Syria might find a safe home, or that our friends in Haiti will be able to rebuild their lives after Hurricane Matthew? Wouldn't that be nice if we had that certainty? I don't think we're alone in wanting it. Scientists tell us that our brains are hardwired to want certainty. Hardwired so much so that we need certainty as much as we need food or water or shelter or sex. Nobody laughed or smiled when I said that. I thought they might. So it's very human. It's in our nature to want certainty. And our brain actually treats uncertainty like it does pain. It goes into alarm in the limbic system, and it wants to push it away. And isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we naturally do with uncertainty? A lot of us don't like change, because change always accompanies a little bit of uncertainty and the unknown. And so I was inspired to talk about this because I've been through a bit of a change myself. I recently moved after living in Lansing for over 18 years and moving to a new town, a new home, and starting on a new adventure. So I've been reflecting on what it is to be uncomfortable, what it is to be certain, and a lot about what it is to be uncertain. And so I'd like to share some of what I've learned and some of the teachings from our great teachers have said about uncertainty, as well as what I've learned from all of you, my teachers, as well. And by the end of the night, I hope that you will be inspired to think of uncertainty as a tool that we can all use to achieve greater awakening. I hope you'll walk away with a few very concrete tools to know how to navigate during uncertain times, that you might be able to bring yourself a little more comfort. And finally, I hope that all of us at the end of the talk will be really encouraged to provide comfort to one another in times of uncertainty. For life is uncertain. The nature of life is really changing. It's always flowing. And we really only have one choice. Do we go with the flow or do we resist it? And many of us are very good at both. And what we can do to embrace it more is to be open to the power of periods of uncertainty, to mine them for what they might teach us. And I learned a technique that I'd like to share with all of you tonight about 3 years ago, right after I was ordained, from one of my spiritual teachers and mentors. And it was a very simple technique. It's really two inquiry questions, and this is where your little sticky notes will come in. At the time I learned these two questions, as I said, I had just graduated, and I really wanted to know exactly what I was going to do with my life. Anyone ever had similar questions? So one part of me knew very deeply that I wanted to be of service, that I wanted to stand with people and help them to experience the divine in their bodies, their minds, and their hearts. And another part of me had a clue what I was about to do. But I deeply wanted a 12-step plan that I could follow succinctly to know just what to do one step after the other. And so the two questions that my teacher asked all of us were, what do you deeply know about this situation? What in your gut and in your heart do you deeply know And I think most of us, when we ask ourselves that question, know at least something. Then she asked, "What do you not know about this situation?" And that question just blew my mind, because I was thinking, what? I'm allowed to not know something? I don't have to figure this out myself? Really? That's fantastic. You mean I haven't been slacking all this time? I'm not behind the eight ball? I really cannot know, not be responsible for every facet of how things are going to unfold? That was really liberating for me. And so I'm going to offer you those two questions right now, one at a time. And I'd ask, before you start writing a lot of things down, just to really be with each question individually and really listen in your body for what the answer is. And so let's go with the first question. Think of a situation in your life in which you face uncertainty. What do you deeply, at the core of your being, know? And in a word or a phrase, try to distill what you know. It could be that you simply know that you want something, that you desire something. It could be that you know that this community will be here for you. It could be that you know you've weathered other storms. It could be that you know you have resources to bring to your uncertainty. There's no right answer. Whatever comes to you, feel free to jot down a word or a phrase that represents what you know. On your little sticky note, now I'm going to ask you the second question. What do you not know about your circumstance? And try to be non-judgmental about this. It's okay to not know. What are you curious about? What information is yet to come? What might you be surprised by? Again, in a word or a phrase that represents your answer, jot down what you don't know. And if you've written something really personal, you may want to change that, because we are going to place them on a board collectively up here. So if you need to scratch that out and write something else, there's other sticky notes that you can use, and you always have the option not to place it up there. So that's a little exercise that you can do in your journal. You can reflect on in your meditations, in your contemplative time, anytime you're facing a situation. There's always something that we know, and there's always something generally that we don't know, and that's the nature of life. So feel free to use this technique at other times. At the end of the service, we'll be placing all of what we don't know on this board together, and we'll place it at the center of the circle when we do our peace circle, and we'll surround what we don't know with love, and we'll hold each other in the light of love to know that our comfort and our support is there for each of us. So even the spiritual great teachers and masters had uncertainty in their lives. Sure, they may have powers and premonitions, but they still lived in the same mystery that we live in. They didn't know every detail of what every single day would unfold like. And so what do we do with uncertainty on this spiritual path? Uncertainty is just as certain as death, as taxes, and as change, as they say. And so one aspect of what we can do with uncertainty is we can look to what signs of comfort arise when we're in those periods of certainty. And I'd like to share a story of a friend of mine who I feel just really exemplifies doing this so well. I have a friend recently who had a miscarriage, and she wrote me an email to let me know this, and I was very sad to hear this. I know how excited she was to have this second child, and she was really excited that her two children would be very close in age together. And my heart just broke open for her. And as I watched her go through her process, she did something that was really amazing that I'd like to really hold up and highlight for all of us. She allowed herself to fully experience the pain of that. She didn't do what I term spiritual bypass, and many others have probably heard of that. Spiritual bypass is when we put a spiritual cliche on something and then we shove all our feelings under the rug and don't embrace the full humanity of our experiences. My friend who I'll call Heidi didn't do that. She let herself weep. She let herself question. And she also let herself be curious. She let herself be curious and ponder what else could be happening here. And what she came up with was that she realized how incredibly grateful she was for her firstborn son. She looked at him with completely new eyes and was amazed. He was perfectly healthy. And aside from a few bobbles, the delivery went really well and without a hitch. She saw him as this walking miracle every day that she never really fully appreciated quite the same. She also connected with the miscarriages that so many other women have had, the loss of children that so many other people have experienced. And while she had empathy for them before, she never really quite connected in the same way. And she began to think about how lucky in general she was in her life. Sure, she had trials like all of us, but how really blessed her life was. And so, for something that is very sad, she really opened herself to the full experience of that moment of uncertainty. She entertained, like many women would, will I be able to have another child? Fortunately, she didn't ask herself, did I do something wrong? But she did hold open all possibilities at that moment. And something even more miraculous happened. After she had the procedure that released the child from her body, she got a call from the people who do bone marrow transplants. And unbeknownst to me, at her young age of about 30, she's a bone marrow donor. And she is the perfect match for someone who needs bone marrow. And I don't know if you know anything about this process, but that process can take up to 10 years to find someone who's a perfect match. And I don't think she'd been on the registry for long. And you can't donate bone marrow when you're pregnant. So she sent me this email and said, I wonder if my loss can save someone's life. I thought, wow, there is someone being open to the miracles found in times of uncertainty, who didn't shy from the uncomfortableness of it, but who kept herself open to the miracle of life. Because in times of uncertainty, often we can't change the thing that we want to change. That's what often frustrates us so much. But what we can do is stay open to the change that can happen within us. After having recently moved and felt the vulnerability that comes when you make a transition in life, I can say that having others around us to be there to bring comfort can help to stabilize us greatly. It was very sweet. I put an email out to the Interfaith Center in Ann Arbor, and there was some older gentleman who would email me every week, "How's the search going for housing? How's it going?" And he would send me little ads, and Nancy Bernthal would do this too when she would meet people randomly at places who lived in Ann Arbor and try and connect me with someone. And for whatever reason, I was having a really difficult time finding a place that would suit my needs and fit my budget and be environmentally sensitive to someone who's allergic to quite a number of things. And every time I began to doubt and feel like, is this really going to happen? Am I going to make it before my lease turns up? Sure enough, I'd get an email from the gentleman at the Interfaith Center. "How's it going, Holly?" And it was just, to me, like the voice of the divine saying, "You're covered. All is well. The solution has not arrived yet." But just the fact that the divine showed up showed me that there was a solution on the way. And so I invite all of us to have eyes that can see those moments in our times of uncertainty where there is comfort that is trying to find us. And it's usually trying to find us in forms that we wouldn't expect. I don't know this man from Interfaith. I still haven't even met him. He still sends me emails to this day. "How's it going? How are you settling in?" We will have tea eventually. But how sweet. And it changes us. It changes us to go through periods of vulnerability. We learn to open our hearts more. I don't know if any of you have ever read the book Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser. If you haven't, I highly suggest it. I think anything that we go through that is difficult has the opportunity, we have the opportunity to be broken by it or to be broken open by it. And when we're broken open, what it makes us want to do usually is to reach out to others and to be able to share the love that we've experienced in those vulnerable times. I know during that period when I was feeling really anxious about whether I would find housing in time, I went for a lot of walks. And just running into someone on the walking path and them smiling, again, was like the breath of the divine washing over me, letting me know it would be all okay. Now, that's easy for me to say. I had a first world problem. I might not find housing in time. Oh, big deal, right? I have lots of friends who I know who would have put me up, or relatives. But there are people who don't have some of the resources that we're privileged to have in the first world. Our dear friend Pierre is helping those in Haiti whose roads, whose homes, whose towns have been destroyed. And so our invitation is to think about how can we be the comfort of the divine in those uncertain times for folks. How can we make a difference for others? There are countless ways, and I've seen all of you do it so many times, through the prayer connection here at Fellowship, through the way you outreach to friends, and hopefully through some really lovely donations to Pierre's organization One of the ways that we can be divine comfort is to be there for others in uncertain times. And that actually helps us to have more faith that when we go through uncertain times, that same divine love that motivates us to help others is the same divine love that will be there for us when we need it. In closing, I would like to offer a blessing. May you have courage to stand before the mystery of life and not know all the answers, yet be willing to live the questions. May you have the perseverance to let your tears, fears, and anger awaken your heart and call it forth to greater wisdom and greater compassion. May you find in each unknown circumstance the one presence, the Great Spirit, guiding you. May you find your path lined with healers and truth-sayers who remind you that you are never lost. May you be comfort for all those who stand in the cracks of uncertainty. And amidst it all, may you dance. May you dance with all that is and all that ever will be. And so it is.